Velkommen til rejseprogrammet. Jeg hedder Søren Clouding. Programmet er det andet, og i denne omgang sidste program om den franske riviera Côte d'Azur. Sidste gang var vi vest for og i byen Nice. Denne gang begynder vi med et meget interessant besøg på Chagall-museet i Nice, og derpå foregår resten en halv snes kilometer øst for den populære storby. Vi fortæller om et usædvanligt hotel med navnet Welcome i Villefranche-sur-Mer, hvor der er garanti for seaview og altan på alle værelserne til rimelige priser ydermere. Vi skal ud og spise på La Mer Germaine, en super oplevelse med en enestående historie bag, og den er også til at betale. Vi skal på sejltur i Middelhavet med en skonnert og se på delfiner og havskildpadder, mens vi får mere at vide om den hyggelige kystby, og så slutter vi af med en femstjernet oplevelse på et af de meget mondæne hoteller, Royal Riviera hedder det, på hjørnet populært sagt af halvøen Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferret. Det sker alt sammen i rejseprogrammet denne gang. Hvis du desuden vil se billeder og læse mere og meget af det, du hører om i rejseprogrammet, så besøg rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk. Når man besøger Nice og ikke mindst Côte d'Azur, så er der masser af muligheder for at bade, der er masser af muligheder for at nyde det her fantastiske Middelhav, for at nyde naturen, komme op i bjergene. Der er rigtig meget at gøre. Men det kan jo også godt være, det regner. Eller det kan være, at man simpelthen bare har lyst til også at foretage sig noget andet, end det, som den franske riviera er mest kendt for. Man kan jo gå på museum, og dem er der rigtig mange af også. Og fordi mange kunstnere i tidens løb virkelig har været glade for det her område, så disponerer man altså også i området over en lang række museer rundt omkring. Et af de museer er etableret til at vise noget af den kunst, som Marc Chagall har produceret. Meget af den kunst eksisterer selvfølgelig i private samlinger rundt omkring i verden, men en gang imellem så samler man her på det, der hedder Musée National Chagall. Her i Nice, der laver man speciale udstillinger. Men den udstilling, som det egentlig handler om, og som er der altid hele året rundt, den er baseret på Marc Chagalls produktion af i alt 17 malerier, som han har foræret til den franske stat, som en form for tak for, at jeg er blevet taget så godt imod og har fået mulighed for at udvikle mig og min kunst til glæde for hele verden i virkeligheden, siden jeg kom hertil for mange år siden. Marc Chagall, han er nemlig født i Rusland, men han kom allerede til Frankrig, da han var 25 år gammel. Han er født i 1887, så det er en del år siden, og så har der jo altså været nogle verdenskrige, som har afbrudt hans arbejde. Men efter 2. verdenskrig kom han tilbage til Frankrig og slog sig ned her, ikke særlig langt fra Nice, i en lille landsby. Det er der, han boede, det er der, han har udviklet sin kunst. Og på et eller andet tidspunkt, så besluttede han sig altså for at forære den franske stat de her 17 malerier. De 17 malerier er baseret på Chagalls tolkning af det bibelske budskab. Ikke at det er religiøst som sådan, men det er mere det spirituelle, det handler om. Og det er altså fantastisk, når man får mulighed for at gå rundt på museet, at opleve malerierne, at opleve hans kunst, og ikke mindst få en kyndig vejledning, måske gennem de trådløse telefoner, som man kan blive udstyret med her på museet. Vi var så heldige at blive vist rundt af Anne Dopfer, som er direktrice, som det hedder, altså kvindelig direktør. Hun er altså museumsdirektør på det her Chagall-museum i Nice, og også flere andre museer, og hun ved selvfølgelig alt om det, som hun præsenterer publikum for. Anne Dopfer, when you're going to look at the museum nowadays, Chagall is not here anymore. Now you are the responsible, you are the person who have to show what he was, but you also have to do it in a modern way, maybe also to the younger people. What is the most important thing for you to present to the audience nowadays?
I think there are two things that really guide me in my everyday life. One thing is the love for the art of Chagall, because I think that is very actual, very relevant. His works still talk to us and deliver a message of peace and of universal love. Chagall died 30 years ago, but I feel that he's still among us, sharing his knowledge of painting, his knowledge of the humanity. And coming to this museum is really meeting and encountering an incredible artist, an incredible man. The second thing that is very important to me is that I see museums as a privileged place where you can come for a moderate price and have an exceptional experience. Of course, it's the experience of the work of art, but not only. It's also the experience of gathering with people, sharing, discussing, enjoying some technology, going to the cafe, enjoying the garden. It's a varied experience. And I feel that in a city, it's really a special place where you can go and be out of the world for a few moments, discover new things, but also come back to things you already know and enjoy. So I love the museum as a social place.
And of course, there's this art of Chagall. It has very much to do with spiritual thinking and also about love. After my opinion, love is one of the main sentences of the Bible, and that is what we can see in all these paintings. Of course, some of the paintings are showing pictures of how man was created and things like that. It also ends up in this question about love, which I think a lot of people in the modern life may forget or may be a little bit peripheral to.
Yes, the fascinating thing about the work of Chagall, it has many sides that unfold. When you come to this museum, of course, you discover the 17 paintings of the biblical message that he gave to the French people as a sign of recognition. These paintings, of course, represent scenes of the Bible, which, of course, was not his book of his religion since he was born in a Jewish background. But he thought the Bible was a main source of poetry. And I think that aside from the scenes that are represented, as you said, there are different elements that are more important to him. One is to convey a message of love through color, through spirituality, through scenes that bring your soul to elevate yourself to a world where dream mixes with reality, fantasy, ideals. But in general, the theme of love is extremely present. It's very obvious when you observe all the couples that are represented in this cycle. You have love everywhere. You have Adam and Eve. You have King David and Bathsheba. But it's not only historical figures, it's just the simple idea of a couple. Chagall loved that idea, and women are present everywhere in his work.
Tak til Anne Dopfer, som er museumsdirektør på Chagall-museet i Nice for snakken. Chagall-museet er virkelig et besøg værd. En lille perleoplevelse, indrømmet blandt mange mulige i den herlige by, som man bør unde sig selv, når man nu måtte være på de kanter. Hvis du vil se billeder og læse mere om Nice, Côte d'Azur, Chagall-museet og finde værdifulde links dertil, så besøg rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk. En lille juvel på Côte d'Azur på den franske riviera, den ligger mellem Nice og Monaco. Det hedder Villefranche-sur-Mer. Det er en lille havn, den er næsten ubeskrivelig. I skal gå ind på rejseradioen.dk og se nogle billeder. Og nede i den havn, der kan man altså bo, jeg vil sige relativt billigt, med direkte udsigt til havnen og til vandet ved siden af. Der skal man godt nok lige finde sig i at køre en bil eller en motorcykel forbi en gang imellem, men det er meget sjældent, det sker, fordi den der vej, som hotellet ligger på, og det hedder Welcome Hotel, den lille vej, den er faktisk blind. Så det er allerhøjst dem, der forvilder sig ned i den ene ende, og så skal tilbage igen, og som ved, at de ikke kan komme ud. De kommer selvfølgelig forbi to gange. Men lad nu det være, hvad det være vil. Hotellet er til at betale sig fra. Man kan betale et par hundrede euro for et værelse, og der er en speciel ting ved det her hotel, det er, at alle værelserne har sea view, udsigt ud over havnen, ud over vandet, og man har den mest vidunderlige morgensol, fordi det er østvendt, det her hotel. Og ved siden af mig sidder Katrine, som er ikke bare direktør for hotellet, men også efterkommer af den familie, som oprindeligt startede det her sted som hotel. Tell me, Katrine, you're part of this family. It was your grandma or grandpa somewhere back in time, at least 100 years or something, who actually established this hotel as a hotel. How do you look at it nowadays? Because, I mean, it looks as an old hotel, but you have done it very modern in a way.
It actually has been, yes, in the family for the third generation now. And yes, we are indeed refurbishing little by little, you know, room by room sometimes, and then piece by piece. Last year was the wine bar, actually, and next year probably will be the front desk. I mean, it's always trying to keep that spirit. Actually, when we refurbish a room, it is very, very difficult to try not to do what you can find in any elsewhere in the world. What we like to keep is the definitely special spirit about Villefranche-sur-Mer, the fishing port that's just in front of us, and the amazing view that we have, but also to keep a good spirit of the French kind of decor, but also the way we receive people. We receive them like we're, each of us is at home.
The hotel is called a welcome hotel, and you really feel that when you come inside. The staff is really welcoming you, and you feel like having been here a lot of times before, and they immediately at least understand the Danish sort of humor. There's one thing which I was very surprised about when I read about the hotel first time. There's 100% sea view guarantee. I know from experience that a lot of people, when they come to hotel, they are a little bit aware, which room will I get? Do I have sea view, or do I have to look at the garden or the yard or whatever, which is back? Here you have 100% sea view.
Yes, actually, the hotel was disposed differently many years ago. The corridors were in the center of the hotel, but many years ago, my grandfather decided to make some major construction and literally placed the corridor at the back of the hotel, meaning the rest of the hotel was front. So we had bigger views. That's when we started to have bathrooms in each room, because it wasn't actually that way at the time, which could guarantee all rooms with the sea view. So now, and I know that in 2003, if I'm not mistaken, my father as well undertook some constructions of balconies, because not all the rooms had balconies. We all had sea views, but sea front view, but none of them had balconies. So in Villefranche, it is very difficult to actually get the approval to change the face and front of any building in the old town. It is subject of what we call the Architecte des Bâtiments de France, which is the French authorities of architecture who authorize, yes or no, to modify and keep a spirit of the old town and make things the way they should be. So we've done this that way, and we were able to have all rooms with balconies. So every year we try, and every decades, there's always a big concern of, okay, what's the next step? Now we're actually looking forward to have a second, possibly, elevator, because our hotel just turned 4-star 5 years ago. And because of the 5-star, you're supposed to have actually a second elevator. And right now, we're still discussing with the authorities and the mairie, and we'll see how it goes. But hopefully, we will keep on evolving as we have since many, many years.
It is also price attractive.
It is actually. We actually raise a little bit the prices, but we maintain them with the crisis, even though we turned 4-star. But we thought, actually, this is a price that's just the same. What actually we changed were just services. Our staff is very well aware of what welcoming a person is, and enthusiastic about your job and the way you do things, with the empathy that person should have. And we tend to have a good concern of all the good and the bad critiques that our customers have, which helps us evolve. In 2003, my father undertook the ISO 9000, which is a quality norm. And we kept on doing that. And this includes being open-minded about critiques, but also being able to challenge yourself, but also to consider putting everything down and thinking, okay, what do I need to rethink totally so people will be happy? And this is really always our concern. We have a very, very nice and devoted staff that has been here for many of them over 10 years. And the customers are very happy to come back every year and say hi to all the housekeepers and all the hommes d'entretien or the bartenders as well. And it's very comfortable as well and very nice to work in such an environment.
Og bestemt også et dejligt sted at besøge. Vi siger tak for snakken med hoteldirektøren på Welcome Hotel i Villefranche-sur-Mer, Katrine Sigvald, og ønsker hende held og lykke med de mange fremtidsplaner. Hvis du vil se billeder og læse mere om det usædvanlige hotel, der ligger med facaden næsten i vandkanten i den lille fiskerby, og også få links til hotellet, så besøg rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk. Hvis man har lyst til at spise et sted, hvor Josephine Baker har spist, hvor George Harrison har spist, Harry Belafonte, Jacques Brel, ja, Elizabeth Taylor også har været her, og en hel masse andre personligheder, så skal I tage til Villefranche-sur-Mer. I Villefranche-sur-Mer ligger La Mer Chaman. Det er en meget gammel restaurant, den er fra 1938, og den drives nu i tredje generation. Det er en meget, meget speciel restaurant. Det er en restaurant, hvor man har valgt, at man ikke ville have Michelin-stjerner. Og ved siden af mig sidder den nuværende, den tredje generation af La Mer Chaman. You better have to tell the listeners your name yourself.
Thierry, my name is Thierry. The third generation in the restaurant. My mother's mother started the restaurant in 1938. And we're going to continue a few more years, I think so, because my eldest son is in the restaurant right now. And the small one wants to be a cook and a pastry chef.
You have simply made a guarantee for this generation changing maybe a couple of times more. So when you come back here in 100 years or so, I would love to do that because it's fabulous. Then I can be quite sure that La Mer Chaman is still here.
It's quite a legacy because I'm not here working for myself, or my kids are not working for themselves for business. It's in memory of my grandma and her name. It's something different. We have customers we've known, they've known me as a baby, and we know now the grandchilds and everything, so we must give always performance every day.
What are you doing in order to keep that quality in what you do?
The quality, I get all my fishes from local fishes, and I'm served every day, like meat also, and vegetables, and all the products we can find around here. We make special bread for ourselves. It's only made for us, some special oil that are made in the back of Nice, and we try to find all the very natural products that we can serve to the clients.
So you are very local in the way you're thinking. But not only that, you also prepare the things. You serve the salmon, which is self-made?
Yes, the salmon, we have it fresh, and then we do it in gravlax, cooked in salt and sugar. Then we keep it 3 days like this, and then we prepare it afterwards with some cream and some spices, which is very nice.
And there you see even the Danish word or the Norwegian word gravlax, it comes down here to France. But you're working with this restaurant in a very traditional manner. To me, it also seems that you are very modern in the way of thinking and the way, I mean, everything looks so nice.
Thank you very much. We put all our hearts in the business because also I have a very good staff for many, many years. So it's they are part of the family. They are working, they are thinking mer jamen, like we do. That's why it makes our force, because we are a team. It's not only me, it's the team I have behind me.
Of course, if it wasn't, then I think you were very busy. You probably are busy, and I could imagine that you also have gone through a very high education to come here.
I started myself as a cook, pastry chef, did the butcher, I did the fish also, I did everything in the restaurant, the bar, the service and everything. So from the bottom to the top, I know what I'm talking about, and I know what is not wrong or not.
And I'm quite sure that your chef knows exactly that if he's not behaving in the right way, not only making the customer satisfied, he also has to make you satisfied, because you know what you're talking about.
Absolutely, because when I see something which is wrong, I can move it right away and change it very quickly. This is the force we have, because we know exactly what kind of product I order, I receive in the morning, I'm here, and we display all day long with the chefs what is good to do and what is the right thing to do for the restaurant. We serve also, we do also some many service that no other restaurant do, is like voiturier, like valet parking for the cars. And also we go and get people on board of their private yachts in the Bay of Villefranche. Or sometimes we serve on board of the ships.
Og jeg siger indtil videre i hvert fald tak for snakken her. Foran mig, der venter mig en måltid, og når vi er færdige med det, så er jeg sikker på, at så vender vi tilbage med yderligere et par ord om den oplevelse. Hvis ikke jeg har drukket lidt for meget champagne, rosévin eller hvad der nu ellers bliver serveret undervejs, men så kan I jo more jer over det. After a couple of hours later, I think we have been tasting everything worth tasting here in Côte d'Azur when it comes to fish. The main thing was the bouillabaisse, the famous bouillabaisse, the Marseillaise, which they prepare here in Villefranche-sur-Mer. I will say even better than they are able to in Marseille. Tell me, Thierry, what is the secret about making such a good bouillabaisse like you do?
It's having the right product, the right fish, and I bring my fisherman from Nice, bring the fish every day, and we make the soup for the day, and then we start again the day after. And the quality is very fresh, comes out from the fishing net, and then comes to my kitchen.
Og for jer, der ikke ved, hvad bouillabaisse er, fordi det er ikke særlig kendt i Danmark, der er en bouillabaisse, altså en meget berømt fransk fiskesuppe, som består af 20 forskellige fisk, som man koger i 4 timer. Når man så har gjort det, så lægger man nogle specialfisk, dem som måske lige præcis dem, der passer til dagen, dem lægger man oven i 4-5 stykker, og så koger man dem i 12 minutter, så har man altså en helt fantastisk madoplevelse. When it comes to visiting your restaurant, you are basically open all year around, but you have holiday also around Christmas time, I could guess.
I'm closing down the restaurant beginning November until Christmas Day, and then we open seven days a week, lunch and dinners, and goes on until the new vacation next year.
Tja, det var vel den korte udgave af årets gang på den fabelagtige restaurant La Mer Jamen på kanten til Middelhavet i den lille fiskerby Villefranche-sur-Mer. Vi siger tak for snakken til stedets indehaver, Thierry Blouin. Hvis du vil se billeder og læse mere og finde værdifulde links til Lamer Shaman, så besøg rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk.
Mellem Nice og Monaco ligger Villefranche-sur-Mer, som er et sted, hvor man ikke nødvendigvis kommer forbi, medmindre man tager strandvejen. Mange mennesker kører fra Nice til Monaco på det, der hedder Moyenne-Corniche. Når man kører deroppe på bjergene, så kan man se ned til Villefranche, men det er ikke så tit, man kommer herned. Der er også en halvø, der hedder Cap Ferret, og når man kører ud på den, så får man en fuldstændig anden oplevelse, end man gør i det hektiske liv inde i Nice, eller for den sags skyld i Monaco. Det her indslag, det er faktisk optaget på et skoleskib på vej ud på Middelhavet. Vi er på vej ud af havnen lige i øjeblikket, I kan høre motoren. Jeg ved ikke rigtigt, om det rejser sejlene, fordi heldigvis for mig, fordi jeg er ikke alt for søstærk, heldigvis for mig, så er vinden ikke så voldsom i dag, så jeg tror ikke rigtigt, der kommer sejl på. Det, der er det heldige for mig også er, at hvis jeg gerne vil fortælle jer en hel masse om Villefranche-sur-Mer, så kunne jeg bruge mange timer på det, og det har vi ligesom ikke tid til. Så ved siden af mig, der sidder den turistansvarlige for Villefranche-sur-Mer, for Cap Ferret, og hun kan fortælle os en hel masse om det. What are you going to experience here in this wonderful small place?
Alors directly when you come in Villefranche, the first what you see is the big, the citadel, the fortress. This fortress is from 1457. It was built at this time. It is a very, very big fortress, and it is a pity when you don't come to Villefranche and you don't see the citadel. After that, you have the old city. Inside of the old city, what is very, very interesting is the Covered Street. The Covered Street, it is a street, it is 132 meters long, and it was not covered at the beginning. The people living on one street, they found their house too small and they built over the street. You have a project wall along the water. And when you come inside, you think you are in a medieval film because it is dark. You don't have opening, only one door going to the mayor. And a lot of film are making in this street because it's really medieval. After that, sure, what you see in Villefranche, it is beautiful, it is the sea, and we have a lot of cruise ship coming because it is so nice. You have the little fishing house, colored fishing house, and then you see the old city going up over the mountain. Therefore, when you come over the low Corniche, you don't see Villefranche because it is along the waterfront and you don't see the village.
But I can tell you that I have been attending the Monaco Formula One Grand Prix many times. I know that the listeners know that I have actually done 20 Monaco Formula One Grand Prix as a journalist. And I always stayed in Nice. And when I did that, I always took the way back from Monaco to Nice, I took it along the water, close to the water, and every time I went past there, I was looking down to Villefranche. Once I went down there to look at it, but it was only for 5 minutes, but this time I had about 24 hours, including a little bit sleep, to experience what happened and down there, and I was really looking forward to it, because it's a wonderful place.
Og så sker der et eller andet ude i vandet, og alle mennesker, der er nogle andre mennesker med på det her skib også, de skal hen og fotografere. Og jeg tror simpelthen, det er fordi, der er hvaler eller delfiner i området, og det er det, man gerne lige vil se. Men det vender vi tilbage til, fordi jeg laver selvfølgelig en speciel feature på lige præcis denne her sejltur. Lige i øjeblikket sidder styrmanden ved siden af og forsøger på at overdøve mig, men det får han altså svært ved, for det er mig, der har et fast greb i mikrofonen. Yeah, I don't know exactly what we were looking at, but anyway, when we are talking about Villefranche,
it was a tortue. It is how do you say in English a tortue? It is like an animal with 4 feet, and the head is going inside.
Oh, det er altså en skildpadde. Så der har altså været en havskildpadde der, som man lige har fået øje på. Ærgerligt, jeg ikke så den, for så havde jeg taget billedet af den, men det må blive en anden gang.
They have seen one, but we didn't see it.
So you didn't see it?
No, I didn't.
Nå, så der, man har altså set det en, men vi så den ikke. Men Rita, som vi faktisk slet ikke fik navnet på, da vi startede det her. Rita, you have probably stayed here a long time.
Yes.
And what is fascinating you when you are living here?
Alors, when I came here for the first time, I was fascinated from the quiet. If you leave Nice, Nice is a very nice city, but it is a big city. And when you come in Villefranche, it is quiet. And you mean you live in another world, because we are directly along the water, and only you think there is only fishermen, but a lot of people are living here and working here, but it is the quiet and it's peaceful in Villefranche.
Det er præcis som et eventyr. Hvis man kommer på de her kanter her, så skal man altså tillade sig selv en pause at tage ned til Villefranche og opleve det. Jeg har faktisk selv, ikke i selve Villefranche, men på den her Cap Ferret-halvø, har jeg selv på et tidspunkt, hvor jeg virkelig havde brug for ro. Simpelthen, der havde vi nogle timer hernede, som var helt fantastiske. Og det kan jeg altså kun anbefale alle og enhver.
And therefore you see there's so few film stars coming here to live here or to buy the big the nice villas, sure, and a lot of films are living in Villefranche. Hein? You have Elton John, they live a little bit higher, Tina Turner, the U2, they live here because the quiet, the peaceful.
So maybe I can meet Tina Turner around or something.
Maybe, when she's making shopping or in a nice restaurant from Villefranche.
Ja, stemningen fejlede i hvert fald ingenting på Santa Sospira udflugtsskibet. Det er vel den rette betegnelse egentlig for det skib. Vi siger tak til Rita for snakken og de mange informationer om, hvad hun mener, der er værd at opleve i Villefranche-sur-Mer. Hvis du vil se billeder og læse mere om den lille fiskerby, så besøg rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk.
Meget, meget tæt ved Villefranche-sur-Mer ligger den halvø, der hedder Cap Ferret. Og der kan man finde et træningsskib, og det er faktisk det træningsskib, et skoleskib, som jeg er ude på i øjeblikket. Det er noget, man kan købe sig til. Det er noget, man kan i højsæsonen. Lige i øjeblikket, der står vi og kigger på delfiner, og folk de er altså meget begejstrede, det kan jeg godt forstå. Det er et skoleskib, hvor vi er omkring 15 mennesker eller sådan noget lignende, der er ude på det her skib, og får altså en fantastisk naturoplevelse. Det kan man købe sig til. Men det er så pænt.
Ja, der skete hele tiden noget på det skoleskib, eller oplevelsesskib er det vel snarere. Og mens jeg begyndte indledningen til interviewet, forsvandt Muriel Oriol, som var den, jeg ville tale med. Hun er grundlæggeren af det naturbevarende projekt, som skibet Santa Sospira er en del af. Men heldigvis forsvandt hun ikke længere end hen til reglingen, fordi hun mente, at det var det vigtigste her i verden lige nu, at skulle fotografere delfinerne, der sprang rundt omkring skibet. Klik ind på rejseradioen.dk og se nogle af billederne, hun tog, så vil I forstå, hvorfor jeg, eller vi måske, blev nedprioriteret for en kort stund. Hun er faktisk ret god med et kamera i hånden. Hun er knap så god til engelsk, men man kan godt forstå hende, og hun er hyperentusiastisk og engageret, så jeg fangede hende selvfølgelig kort tid efter igen, så vi kunne komme i gang med vores snak.
Yes, Santa Sospira is a boat, school boat of the association SOS Grand Bleu. On this boat, we try to make aware children and all the public to the beauty of Mediterranean Sea. And in Mediterranean Sea, and particularly here near Saint Jean Cafera, we have a big area, Sanctuary Pelagos, and in this area it's possible to observe, to watch many dolphins and sometimes whales, Mediterranean whales, and it's a beautiful moment for children and for other person who are in a school boat.
You are sailing out here on the sea, and I'm lucky today because I can very often be seasick. But normally the weather is like this. It is a wonderful experience. But do you go out under all weather circumstances, so to say?
When the weather is not very, very nice, it's not possible to watch dolphins because there are many
Waves,
yes, and people are sick, and it's not a good idea to go in the sea to observe dolphins.
Og Muriel fortæller os jo altså, og hun undskylder hele tiden sit engelske, fordi hun siger, det ikke er godt nok, men nu kender I lidt til mit, det er bestemt heller ikke godt nok. Men det er godt nok, til vi kan kommunikere. Og Muriel, hun fortæller, at selvfølgelig, når vejret det er dårligt, så sejler man ikke ud, fordi noget af det, der er ideen, det er også at give gæsterne en god oplevelse. De allerfleste, de går hen og bliver søsyge, så det er altså ikke den eneste om at blive søsyg, så det er så det. Men heldigvis slipper jeg indtil videre, fordi som I kan høre, så er der kun lidt skvulperi dernede i bølgerne, så det går ikke så hårdt for sig, og det er jo i sig selv herligt. You got this ship 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yes.
And you have done a lot of work, I guess, to make it very nice, because I can see all the painting, everything is made very nice and very authentic.
Yes, yes. His name is Kayık Türk. It's a boat which are built in Turkey. And this boat used to transport merchandise, the overs in Turkey and in Greece. And now it's a historical boat. And I think it's the most big boat in the French Mediterranean, which exists here. Yes, it's a boat which is part of a historical patrimonial of the Mediterranean Sea. Sorry.
Ja, hun bruger ovenkøbet også ord, som jeg ikke engang forstår. Det er ikke på grund af hendes udtale. Men jeg kan fortælle en lille smule om skibet. Det er vel det, der hedder en tomastet skonner. Der er i hvert fald en stor mast på midten. Jeg har ikke så meget forstand på skibet. Og så er der en lidt mindre mast nede bagpå. Og nu skal vi så i øvrigt igen kigge på nogle af alle de der valer. Nej, valer er det vel ikke. Det er vel delfiner derude stadigvæk. Men i alle tilfælde noget af det dyreliv, der er. Så det er en forholdsvis lang båd. How long is the boat here?
23 meters. Yeah. Yeah.
And how many people can be here?
How many people? During one day, it's possible to take 14 people, and it's just half a day. It's 24 people that we can accept here.
Yeah. Okay. And half a day, it is 2-3 hours or something.
Half a day, it's a small trip. It's just to observe the coast, to observe marine birds, and sometimes turtles, and all this. Oh yes, dolphins. Here. Okay. Today it's a beautiful day because we have the chance to observe the dolphins, turtle, and near the coast, and it's a beautiful day for.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Yes.
Jeg må se om jeg får taget nogle billeder af dem. Det er meget meget svært. Jeg har forsøgt. Det er meget svært at fotografere de her delfiner, for de kommer altså kun lige op af vandet et øjeblik, og så gælder det om at ramme dem og måske have kameraet præcis indstillet på det sted, hvor de kommer op, så man har et skarpt billede af dem bagefter. Det kan være det lykkes, og i givet fald kan vi også se det på rejseradioen.dk.
SOS Gombrou Association organizes trips to observe dolphins, but we have other action. We try to fight against captivity of dolphins in marine land or others, and we try to fight against intensive fishing.
Så der er altså også et miljøaspekt, og det er måske meget værd at tage med, når man er afsted sådan et sted her, og sige, at det er altså ikke givet. Altså bare for det, at man sejler rundt herude på Middelhavet, så er det ikke givet, at dyrelivet er her. Det er altså kun, hvis vi mennesker, vi forstår at beskytte dyrelivet, at vi kan forvente, at det også er her fremover, og at man kan fastholde den slags oplevelser, som det vi har her. Og det er værd at give en tanke, og det er værd også at bakke op omkring, synes jeg i hvert fald, organisationer og andre, som arbejder med det som formål. Tak til Muriel Oriol for sit entusiastiske forsøg på at fortælle os om såvel udflugtsskibet Santa Sospira og de store naturrelaterede udfordringer, man også arbejder med på kanten af og ude i Middelhavet. Hvis du desuden vil se billeder og læse mere om meget af det, du hører om i rejseprogrammet, så besøg rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk. Jeg har ikke kunnet gå at være inde på det et par gange i forbindelse med det her rejseradioprogram for Côte d'Azur. At jeg har en fortid, det er der nogen af jer, der ved. Jeg har en fortid som Formel 1-journalist, ikke mindst. Jeg har overværet Monacos Formel 1 Grand Prix ikke mindre end 20 gange. Og når man gør det, så kører man på turen mellem Monaco og Nice, fordi jeg boede altid på Nice, på La Pérouse i Nice. Og når jeg kørte den her tur, så kørte jeg altid, når jeg kørte hjem fra Monaco tilbage til Nice. Jeg holdt op med det her for omkring 15 år siden. Jeg tror, jeg så mit sidste Formel 1 Grand Prix i 1999 år 2000, det nabolag. Men der tog jeg altid det, der hedder Basconiche. Basconiche, det er en slags strandvejen, det er helt nede ved kysten, det er direkte ud til Middelhavet, og det er en utrolig smuk tur. Den er noget længere end turen op igennem bjergene, men den er altså også meget, meget smuk også. Det var en tur, jeg tog om aftenen, når der ligesom var lidt mere tid. Og når jeg så kom igennem en lille by, som hedder Beaulieu, så var der et hotel, som gjorde et meget stort indtryk på mig hver eneste gang, jeg kørte forbi. Jeg tænkte, der vil jeg egentlig gerne bo. Men det havde jeg ikke rigtig budget til. Det kostede mange penge, fordi det er meget, meget dyrt at bo på hotel, når der køres et Monaco Formel 1 Grand Prix. Men når man nu besøger sådan et hotel off-season, som det hedder, så er det til at komme i nærheden af. Så derfor valgte jeg, at jeg gerne ville præsentere jer for et hotel, som hedder Royal Riviera. Hotel Royal Riviera ligger direkte på hjørnet af det, der hedder Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat. Når jeg siger på hjørnet, så er det der, hvor den her halvø den går ud i Middelhavet. Og det ligger en lille smule østvendt, kan man sige. Det vil sige, at man får morgensolen ind. Men man har altså også et fantastisk view ud over Middelhavet. Det her azurblå Middelhav. Og på hotellet, som er femstjernet, og det er selvfølgelig noget af det, der gør, det er svært at komme i nærheden af. Men på hotellet, der har man en fantastisk tradition, man har en fantastisk service, og jeg fik altså mulighed for at bo her en enkelt nat. Og ved siden af mig, der sidder marketingdirektøren for Royal Riviera. You better have to present your name yourself for the listeners.
So I'm Sophie, Sophie Vallet, the director of sales at the Royal Riviera Hotel.
And you have been here for a while, and you know the hotel, and for me, it is a fantastic traditional hotel, but it is also top modern.
Yes, we have done a great combination between the real authentic hotel from the Riviera from beginning of the century, as we are 111 years this year. And we have a great contemporary style in the room and in the main areas. So it's a great combination in between both.
Og kan I høre det, der foregår hen over vores hoved i øjeblikket? Jeg tror ikke, at I kan undgå at høre det. Der kommer simpelthen to flyvemaskiner. Og den der lyd af de her flyvemaskiner, som flyver hen over hotellet i øjeblikket, jeg blev lige afbrudt en lille smule, fordi nu skal jeg se dem, det er vandflyver. De lander simpelthen på den her lille bugt ud for Cap Ferrat. Og det er træningsflyvemaskiner, hvor man henter vand til at kunne slukke skovbrændene. Fordi en gang imellem, fordi der er meget tørt også oppe i bjergene, ikke mindst, så er der behov for at kunne hente noget vand og kunne slukke nogle brænde. Og det er altså det, de træner lige i øjeblikket. Så det er jo en meget vigtig ting selvfølgelig, når man har et område som det her. Og det er meget sjovt, fordi de flyver hen over havet, og så skøjter de hen over havet, samler vand op, og så går de op i luften igen.
But then tell me, Sophie, are these planes disturbing the people all around the year here?
Not at all. No, they are doing their training at this time of the year only. And most of the people or the clients, they do enjoy the show into the sea.
I think it's fantastic. It's fascinating.
And it's fascinating.
It is also very nice that you're taking care about the environment in such a way. And you have, of course, to train the people to do that. And we have to accept that. This is a living world. It is not some sort of a scenery which are made in a theater. It is the real world we're living in here. But we were disrupted by these aeroplanes. You were talking about the hotel. Can you remember where we were?
So we were with the decoration, with the style of the hotel from beginning of the century. We have kept renovating it each year because we are closed basically 1 month and a half each year. And so we have kept renovating on a regular basis the hotel, in spite of we are 111 years this year.
It's fantastic. And I mean, when you look at the building, you can, of course, see it from the style, the building style. And there's also one thing which I think it is important to tell people, that you don't have a lot of balconies and terraces, which you often have in a hotel. But it is just a question about leaving the main building out in the garden, where there's a lot of beautiful spots. There's a very big swimming pool. When I look at a hotel like this, as close to perfect as I can call it, what is going to happen in the years to come?
In the years to come, so we have always to keep updated with the high tech, for example, into the room with the Wi-Fi, with all the connections, with iPad, iPhone, etc. We have to keep the modern style also in all the areas, in the restaurants, in the rooms.
Actually, we got a room where there's no television, but that is a lie because there was a very big mirror and the television is hidden behind that mirror. I have seen that before, so I knew a little bit about it, but that is a really nice way to do it, and that is a way to develop it where you also are using the modern technology. The last thing is that when you come to the Nice Côte d'Azur airport, how long time does it actually take to go here? It's not that much.
No, we have a great location. We are basically 30 minutes drive from the Nice International Airport by the coast road, so which is quite amazing arriving here. You have a fantastic scenery.
But also, when we are talking about a five-star hotel, and it is also affordable. I mean, if you come off-season, it is not that expensive. That is a fantastic experience in itself to come here. And I'm sure you also have some sort of a shuttle service from the airport.
Yes, of course. We do arrange with our headquarters. Concierge will arrange a personal pickup at the airport. It's a part of our five-star service.
And then maybe a very special thing for the Scandinavians, for the Danes maybe, because normally we don't like all these big fashionable hotels. Yeah, it's funny to look at, but we look at it in some way where we say it's a little funny. But that is not the case here.
We are very proud of this atmosphere, very intimate, very discreet and casual chic. We are not a pretentious hotel, which is very important to our clientele. They are coming here to relax and to feel a bit like they are in their own place.
Og med de ord fra Sophie Vallet, som er marketingdirektør på det mondæne femstjernede Hotel Royal Riviera, er det slut på denne udgave af rejseprogrammet. Jeg hedder Søren Clouding, og det næste rejseprogram, der i støbeskeen, handler om Cascais, Estoril og Sintra, de hyggelige og historiske byer vest for Lissabon i Portugal, tæt ved det vestligste punkt på det europæiske fastland. Hvis du i mellemtiden vil se billeder og læse mere om meget af det, du hører om i rejseprogrammet, så besøg rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk.